time in God's Word first, and then we'll do our communion later. And you can sit where you're sitting now, but when we're ready to do the communion, which side, which way they go? We'll move over here, okay? And I know I can give that because Woody said I was the boss, and so tell you where to go. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And while you're turning there, remember we went over the 12th chapter, and it is about spiritual gifts, what they are. And we talked about how that connected into chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And tonight we're going to be talking in chapter 13. And chapter 13 kind of is like a chapter pulling on chapter 12. And then chapter 14 talks about how to use those spiritual gifts. But it's a very important chapter. It's been referred to by a lot of people as the chapter of the love chapter. And that word is not translated in the King James. Love is translated charity, which is actually what I call, I interpret that way, as love in action. Love, and it talks about the things that charity does, is not something silent that just sits there and says, oh, well, I'm charity. Charity says, I'm do something. And it not only has empathy, but it has compassion. And it does things for people. And it's how the gifts of God's church can reach people when we have that special gift or whatever we have. And then we take that love and use that to touch other people's lives. Okay? And we'll have prayer and just start right here on verse 1 and go through that. And then we'll have our communion. And very appropriate for this time of the service to have that while we're thinking about communion and the oneness of the church and coming together and forgiving and being forgiven and all those things that we need. Dear Heavenly Father, as we pause from our weekend for this last service, the last service on this Sunday, this Lord's Day, and Lord, we didn't say a lot about the memory of the tragedies that happened 19 years ago, but we know it was, and we know many tragedies has happened to America. We know it was the first time it happened on our soil, but we know Pearl Harbor, and we know the steady flow of bodies coming back from Vietnam, and we know the cold hills of Korea and World War II, and the guys coming home from World War I in ships that weren't killed on battlefield. Many lost their lives to pneumonia and flu and all kinds of tragedies. And we've always been resilient, and we've bounced back and stood as a nation and a people. And underlining and undergirding and cementing all that together has always been the church. So, Lord, help us to take leadership in these areas that we might not be so despondent or so despaired that we just lay down and give up and roll over, but that we would continue in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So he's given us the identifying gifts that people have in the body of Christ. And he says, now, and when he left that chapter 12, he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Paul said, I'm going to show you a way, because what was happening, as we saw a little bit of it, and I don't know how much we expressed about it, some were congratulating themselves and, well, I got the gift of speaking in tongues. You don't have that gift, and I have more than you have, and I'm smarter than you am, and I'm more spiritual than you are. And he said this all got to come together, and we talked about how the body uniquely fits together, body of Christ. And to illustrate that, he just talks about the human body. We understand every part of our body is important for something or the other. You know, I can't comb my head anymore, but I can scratch my head with my hands, so my hands are still useful to help out with the body. A little bit of humor there, you understand that. But he says, listen, right off the bat, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, and I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Have you ever listened to someone who was an eloquent speaker and could seem to frame all the words in a sentence exactly right and put them in the right place to describe what they were talking about, and you coveted and thought, man, that's really something. Paul said, if I had all of that, if I could say everything the right way it's supposed to be said, and maybe you've heard people speak and you thought, they ought to shut up. And maybe we have spoken to someone in some way that we shouldn't have, and we wished we'd never said it, but, you know, words can't be retrieved. People don't remember, I think I'm just guessing, about 10% of the good things you say, but they remember about 150% of the bad things, and the 50% is what they add to it, I guess. Okay? So he said, but if I had this gift and I could do all that, and I didn't have charity, and I wasn't doing it because I loved people and loved God and loved his church, it wouldn't mean nothing. Sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, which means no sound, making no sound at all. And though I have the gift of prophecy, we think about prophecy, how important it is. And people are asking me, I'm sure asking you, what do you think is going to happen? What happens if this party gets elected? What happens if this don't? I don't have the prophecy to tell you. I can guess at it. I can think about it. But my dad used to say, somebody said, I forget who the lady was that made the prediction supposedly about John Kennedy's death. You probably heard about that. But they didn't tell us that she prophesied hundreds of other things that never did happen. And so my dad said, John, a stop clock is right twice a day. So if you keep saying something long enough, sooner or later it probably happened, then you say, oh, I'm a prophet. I prophesied this. Stand outside and say, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain every day. Sooner or later you'd be right, right? Now, on what spot and how much and where, that's something else. And understand all mysteries. One of the best parts of the Bible to go to in trying to understand mysteries is Proverbs. This is where we get wisdom, and he tells us there that the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God. To know God is the most important thing. And when you know him, you have all that you need. And he says, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Remember, we talked about those gifts. There are people who have a special gift of faith. Some people just can't. They worry all the time. They don't have enough faith to believe in tomorrow. Sometimes you hear them talking. You say, do you believe you're going to heaven when you die? You believe in eternal salvation? They say, yeah. Well, how is it you can believe all the way into the future, but you can't believe about tomorrow? They said, tomorrow I'm probably going to lose my job. Tomorrow I'm probably going to, this is probably going to happen. All these terrible things. And there's people that go around like that. And they don't have, they have the peace of God, but they don't have peace with God. And they can't live believing God's going to take care of tomorrow, just like he's going to take care of the rest of eternity. Because tomorrow, and how many ever tomorrows there are before you get to eternity, you've got to go through to get to eternity. Amen? So when people are like that, they definitely don't have the gift of faith. And he said, if I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, we know there's people in this world that make a business out of giving away stuff and giving it away without any cost. Of course, they usually have to charge somebody else to help them get it to wherever they're trying to send it to. But if I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit nothing. He said, all these things, if I could just bring all these things in, I'm the best liked person. I have all this knowledge. I have all this understanding. I have all these gifts to do these things. But if I'm not using them for the cause of Christ, and if they're all reflected back on me, and what a great guy I am, then I'm nothing. And he said in verse 4, charity suffereth long. I think when we think about charity, we could almost grab all the gifts. And he says if we don't have that, we don't have nothing. Because if you if you have faith, and if you come to a hard spot in the road and you can't take it, well, it says here, charity suffereth long. Charity will go through troubles. It'll take you through trials. It'll increase your faith. It will cement your faith so that you can do those things. And he's trying to tie these things together for these people because they were all excited about a gift, but they weren't using it for the glory of God. And remember, this whole book is a condemnation upon this church for the many problems they have. And he's into the spiritual problem. He covered a lot of the moral problems that they had, but the spiritual problems. And it says it suffered long. It's kind. Now, I probably need help. I'm probably not as good as I should be in always showing kindness to people. But I think there is a time, and maybe kindness and love in action. In other words, it would be kind of stupid to take something and give it to someone in a love of charity and they didn't need it. And I passed the guy that didn't need it, right? But I gave it to that guy because I wanted him to like me. I wanted him to think highly of me. And I wanted people to see me and think I was doing something great. Follow my thinking as Paul's writing here about charity, and putting the gifts together with charity makes a completeness of all that. And he says it's kind. It doesn't envy what other people have and what I don't have, and wish I had the voice she has. I wish I had the gift of whatever he has, and going on and on and on that stream instead of using what God given to us. A lot of people say things like this to me. They probably say it to you. If I ever win the lottery, Pastor Hodge, I will give this church a... I said, you won't give anything. You only give what you're given now. You know, I believe, maybe you don't believe like this, but I believe God knows that he couldn't trust most people with a lot of money because they do a lot of stupid things with it, right? So, and where's the faith to live, you know, a day at a time, a step at a time, and trusting God? There's a time when you just have to trust God, right? You can't say, like the rich man, he said, you know, I don't know what to do with all the stuff I got. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with all this. I used to think when my guns and stuff, I've ended up giving them all away to my kids. And I used to think, I don't know if I should give that. But what's it going to matter? What's it going to matter? When I'm dead, it doesn't matter who has it or who don't have it. Somebody should have had it. Why would I want to just keep it locked up to rust away so nobody could get it? So sometimes we're kind of foolish about stuff like that and envious. But he says it doesn't envy, and it don't vaunteth not itself. That word vaunteth is a word that means lifted up. Don't put up our... It doesn't take the person and lift up the person. There's a verse over in Matthew where Jesus says we are his lights, and he wants our lights to shine upon the work that he does. It's like, I think I shared this illustration with you. My brother, when he was home before he went to the army, we used to work on old cars after we worked all day, get one running so we could take it somewhere. And he'd have me holding the light while he's working down in underneath, looking up through there doing something. And I'd hear something moving. I'd turn, John, hold the light where I'm working. And so God says, put my light not on me, but on the work that God's doing. Wherever God is working in my life or someone else, put the light there so the world can see that light. So that's what charity does. It doesn't vaunt up itself. It's not puffed up. Another verse here in a minute, I think, talks about it doesn't get easily offended. Sometimes we just really get easily offended, right? Somebody says something, so, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Hey, I'm just glad you noticed me. It don't matter, good or bad. That's one thing about it. We're here for a lifetime, And we don't know how long that's going to be. And only what we've done for Christ and given out and given away is going to count anyway. It's not going to be what we made and what we knew and how smart we were, but what did we give away? And did people know that we had charity in our heart? So it suffers long, it's kind, it doesn't vaunt up itself, it's not puffed up, and it does not behave itself unseemingly. I sometimes use this chapter when I'm counseling young people in marriage, because it says it doesn't behave itself unseemingly. And young people are having trouble with dating and how far should they go. And she said in one situation, somebody here a long time ago somewhere else, she said, well, he's saying, if I love him, I'll do so-and-so. I said, if he loved you, he wouldn't ask you to do so-and-so. So it really does give a lot of expression, and I'm just skimming it over here to make sure we understand it's tying those chapters together about the spiritual gifts. It doesn't rejoice. It does not behave itself unseemingly, verse 5. Doesn't seek its own. And it's not easily provoked. I think that's where I left off there talking. Thinketh no evil. It doesn't look for the evil. It looks for the good. And, you know, we can find that if we're really looking and willing to look. And some people say, well, only a mother can love that child. Well, what that means is the mother looks past all the faults and all the physical appearance or whatever makes the child look different. And we should be able, with the spiritual gifts and charity, to do the same thing. One of the groups of kids that I really breaks my heart when I see them, and I get a chance to speak to them if they're out, is the Down syndrome children. Does that really bother you? That just throbs my heart when I see them, and I'm thinking, you know, they didn't ask to be brought into the world that way, so don't stare at them like they're a freak or something. Go up and tell them, that's a nice dress you're wearing. That's a beautiful hat you have on, or something that conveys to them that they're important. That would be an example of charity. So it's envy, it doesn't behave itself unseemly, it doesn't sink its own, it's not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. When there's a verse in Proverbs, and I shouldn't say this if I'm not telling you where the verse is at, but the verse says, in this line, I'm paraphrasing, it says, when you see your enemies suffer, don't rejoice in it. Because when God sees you do that, he might take the punishment that they're getting and turn it on you. So another verse says, when our enemies are hungry, we feed them. When they need a drink of water, we give it to them. And it says, and you may be heaping coals of fire, because if they respond to that wrong, there'll be a judgment by God for that. So we reap rewards by doing what charity wants to do. He says it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice when bad things happen. Well, I'm glad they finally got theirs. Or maybe you go around thinking, I can't wait till the day when he gets his. I want to be there. I want to see it or her. That's not the attitude of charity. He says, but it rejoices in the truth. What is truth? Back in the generation, I guess maybe they're still saying it, the young people are saying, what is truth? What is truth? Well, Jesus said, I am truth. So we can see Jesus in all of this, right? Because he would have passed the test if we take every one of these. And I admit that I've probably failed some of these things. But Jesus never failed one of them. He did all of them. It beareth all things. When things go bad in a relationship, when things don't go our way somewhere, says, I can bear that. I can take that. How much more can I take at times, we say in our trials? It says it beareth all things. It doesn't let it get us down. It believeth all things. Means it believes in the things that we should believe in. like faith, hope, and love, and charity. But it rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's a big package in that verse, isn't it? If we believe, bear, and endure, that's we've taken a big chunk of life and put it on a victory side when we can do that. And it never faileth. It will bring the reward. What God's saying, it will bring the reward that God intended for it when we do it. When we make sure that we did it. It never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You might want to underline that phrase in your Bible. Maybe you want to put a note out to the side. There are scholars that are much smarter than I am. And when you hear of charismatics practicing speaking in tongues, Paul has said now they will cease. These were prophetic gifts that they had, and only the apostles had them. And after the apostles, and it goes on to tell us, when that which is perfect came, and we have the perfect word of God, then we don't need those sign gifts anymore that the apostles had. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're with me on that? All right, so, you know, I'm not saying take your King James Bible and go bash somebody in the head and say, here's the truth, you don't need a tongue. But they probably haven't got that far and probably wouldn't believe you anyway. But we don't have the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue. We may learn a language and then learn to speak in that, but that's not a gift. The gift is when it happened like that, like it did on the day of Pentecost and a couple other places. So the tongue shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vance away. Like my good friend Joe Miller, I think Joe Miller probably preached here years ago. Some of you may remember him. He said, they say, get a good education. They can't take that away from you. He said, if they blow your head off, they can. So I always thought Joe had sayings like that. It was kind of good. But you can know everything. It's ever. One guy's told this other guy, he said, I know what's in every book and every library in the world. And the guy said, what? He said, words. So he was maybe smarter than the guy originally gave him credit for it. For we know in part, and look at the next phrase, we prophesy in part. That means I have to have more facts before I can prophesy. And I got the facts here. But let's use the me saying it's going to rain. Okay, I have to know the day. I have to know where the storm is, when it's coming through. Then I can tell you if it's going to rain. So we prophesy in part. I didn't get all that information myself. I gathered that from somebody else's doing. And that's not stupid. Wise people learn from other people that are wise and from foolish people's mistakes and don't have to make the same ones, right? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, the Bible, he says, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We don't have to wonder when it's going to rain, when it's going to snow. We just trust God and go on and use our common sense. And then he goes back to where he was with these people in chapter 2 and 3 when he told them they were acting like children. Notice in verse 11 he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, grow up. Grow up. As the body of Christ needs to grow, so do individuals need to grow. We need to get past things and move on, growing in the faith, growing in the enduring, and whatever else we have to do. And he said, for now we see through a glass darkly. You ever go up and try to look through a window? Maybe it's dirtier. Maybe it's a stained window, and you can't hardly see. And if you could see in there, or you've been in the bathroom and you took a hot shower, and you start looking in the mirror, and all you see is fog, and you've got to get the towel, or whatever, and wipe it off. Well, whatever you saw before was like seeing darkly, but now he says, when Jesus and we're with Him. But then, face to face, We'll know people. That people say, well, we know people in heaven. Yeah, we know people in heaven. We're perfect. They're perfect. So we're perfect. We're perfect knowledge. We know it. We'll know everything that we need to know. But then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Then he goes back to chapter 14, which we'll take up the next time, and ties all that together. The gifts, what they are, what it takes to use them, if you don't have charity. And then when you have them, you are to use them, and how you use them in chapter 14, and how they'll be used in the church. Let's have prayer, and then I'll call on the guys to come for our communion. Dear Lord, we thank you for being in your church tonight. We thank you for wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Word of God, which is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you for the love of people who are here tonight. We thank you for the good day you've given us. We thank you for the blessings that we have multiplied upon us. Help us to use them. Help us to be a charity person, a person giving out love of God. And whatever we have that people need and could use and we could take from ourself and our storehouse and give, may we be ready and willing to do that. And most of all, love what we're doing and do it because we love God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, at this time we'll begin our communion service. Oh, yeah, move. Now, don't tell me I've got pride and all that stuff. Blame Woody. He told me back there, and I got witnesses. He said, you're the boss. Would you want to ask the blessing upon the communion service as a whole, please?
Heavenly Father, come tonight.
Pass this communion bread, which symbolizes your broken body. And we think about how much it cost us to have your salvation. It's free to us, but it costs you everything. Thank you for loving us that much and giving your greatest gift, Jesus Christ, and his broken body. In his name we pray. Amen. in the same night which he was betrayed, after he had broken the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take heed, this is my body which is broken for you." And in the same manner, the Bible says he took the cup, and when he had blessed it and supped from it, he said, "This is the blood in the New Testament." And he came to die and shed that precious blood to wash away our sins. We thank you so much for that, for giving your very best and giving your all. In Jesus' name, pass the cup. After he had taken the cup and sup, he said, "Drink." I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. We sing that. Now, you may be a toe, you may be a toenail, you may be a eyebrow hair, but you're part of the family of God if you're saved. Amen? Just do what you're supposed to do, all right? Brother Carl, would you have our closing prayer, please?